Good morning.
Good morning.
It has really been a blessing to see the work, to see it's his work, isn't it? It's really his work. The blessing that everybody has been when it comes to just laboring in his field. Again, the thing that's been first and foremost in my mind is that, Lord, just give us your eyes so that we can see the field the way you see the field. So many times I know in my own heart, I don't even see the field. I'm too busy looking at my shoes, I think. But his field is white for harvest. There is a task at hand. It's his work, isn't it? But when it comes to follow-up, we certainly want to be diligent and be in his will when it comes to that. Probably the last time you won't hear this, but happy Father's Day. Whether you are a father, whether you're honoring your father today, it's a good day. Fathers are good. And it's we have a good father in heaven, don't we? My dad's gone now. He's with the Lord. And I was thinking, again, another thing I've been thinking about this year, this would be his 100th year. He was born in 1912. He always used to be proud of the fact that he was born in, it was 1912 is when he was born. And when he passed away, it was April 15th at 4:15. So he was going out, and I just remember that one of the guys that used to work with my dad, I saw him at the funeral, and he just laughed. He said my dad wouldn't want it any other way, because he just thought that was just the greatest thing. But you know, I take comfort in the fact that he's with his father, and he's with my father. We can praise the Lord. And he left me a legacy. I think we all want to leave a legacy, don't we? We want to leave something for those whom we love, so that they can take it, they can absorb it, and then maybe carry it on into their own life. And my father has left me a legacy. He's left me things in my mind, that is his teaching. I know the things that he's taught me. And he's also in my heart, because I have fond memories of my dad. And I hope you have that, and you can reflect on that today. But we have a Father in heaven who has given us such a wonderful legacy also. Not only has he given us his only beloved Son as a propitiation for our sins, he's our Savior. He's not a Savior for a season, is he? He's not a Savior for a day, a month, a year, but he's a Savior forever. But he's also left us his living word, that's the Bible, is that legacy that is of infinite more value than we certainly could ever pass on to anybody, or that we could even receive from anybody. The word of God. And I do want to spend some time in Proverbs today, the book of Proverbs. If you could turn to that. It's a love letter, isn't it? From God to us. Now, if you spend any time in Proverbs, I know a lot of people do. It's got the chapters are numbered in the numbers of the day. All right, day of the month. Every day of the month, you could look at another chapter. A lot of people like to spend maybe some devotional time, but it's a wise book. It's a book of wisdom, and it takes God. He's got this infinite amount of wisdom, and now he's pressing it down into us in our little finite minds. You know, just giving us that perspective. Of course, the Holy Spirit to digest that for us. So let's turn to Proverbs 3. And I'll read verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. And I guess I'd have to title this as Wisdom from the Father. This is what we're going to be focusing on today. 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, God is unfolding this wisdom, and it leads to a pleasing life. In fact, these verses say that not only is it a pleasing life, but it's going to be a long life. But before we get to that, he's very firm on, you know, God is a God of priorities. He wants to make sure that everything's set correctly. And he, in that very first verse, he tells us that there's two components of us that need to be in sync: our mind and our heart. That first verse, it stresses that the mind and the heart must work together to be able to embrace the next three verses, the blessings of the next three verses. My son, do not forget, that's the mind part, my law, but let your heart keep my commands. You know, the lawyer was right in Luke chapter 10 and 26 when he said, he was answering Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And the lawyer spouted off, he says, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and all your mind. If you remember Oswald Chambers, he's the my utmost for his highest. Actually a very young man when he died, 43 years old, but an awful lot of wisdom. He says this, he says, you know, Christian thinking is a rare and difficult thing. So many believers seem unaware that it's the first great commandment, Christian thinking. He wants us to use our mind, and he wants to incorporate those things in our heart. You know, we look at the heart and the mind are only about a foot apart, but sometimes they're an infinite distance between the two, isn't it? He understands that the two must be in sync. For us to have our minds focused on Christ and then letting the heart keep commands brings glory to God and vice versa. That's what these verses say. If both aren't sanctified in such a way, the results can be devastating. I'm going to kind of date myself here. But does anybody know Parade Magazine? It's been around for an awfully long time. Sundays, right? Parade Magazine. Well, there's something I want to read here. This was written on February 11th, 1962. And I know that was probably the Jurassic period, maybe. But just listen to this. In 1902, at the village church of Kolonovka, Russia, attendance at Sunday school picked up after the priest started handing out candy to the peasant children. One of the most faithful was a pugnacious lad who recited his scriptures with proper piety. There are a lot of P words there. And he pocketed the reward. He then fled into the fields to munch on it. The priest took a liking to this boy. He persuaded him to attend church school. This was preferable in doing household chores. And he had devout parents who excused him. So he went to school. And by offering other inducements, the priest managed to teach the boy the four Gospels. In fact, he had learned them so well that he got a prize for reciting the entire four Gospels straight through. I mean, can you imagine? I know some of you actually are learning an awful lot of verses. But can you imagine by memory being able to quote all four Gospels? Now, 60 years later, 1962, excuse me for the present tense here, he likes to recite scriptures, but in a context that would horrify the old priest. For the prize pupil who memorized so much was Nikita Khrushchev, the leader of the Russian, one of the Russian czars. And he was the one that we came so very close to having, really, World War III. It was the Cuban Missile Crisis back in the 60s. And you can Google that and find out. But this man really is the epitome of, there's two things that have to take place. There's the why of memorization, and then there's the what is that memorization for. You know, he actually claimed that there was no God. And the proof that he used is when the Russian used to have a space program. In fact, they still do. Theirs is still running in a different dimension than ours, actually. But when those first cosmonauts, they called them cosmonauts, went up, he said there's no God because they didn't see him. Didn't see God, so there's no God. So, you know, here's this individual who so nimbly could just recite scripture, but there was no commandments in his heart. There was a disconnect between the mind and the heart. They have to be connected. Don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So what are the blessings of the next three verses? For length of days, verse 2, and long life and peace they will add to you. You know, in unfolding his wisdom, God leads us to a happier life. Now some might say, well, Roy, come on. I can find people that are believers and they don't necessarily have a happy life. But we can't look horizontally when it comes to a happy life. We have to look vertically also. Peace with God is a very settling thing to the believer. And as the Father unfolds His love to us, as we get to know Christ, as the Holy Spirit works in us, and we work out our salvation, we begin to understand that happiness and peace with God is a very settling thing in our lives. You know, we don't have to read far in the newspaper to see the common theme of what devastates people's lives who are doing things that are simply opposed to God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and here's the worst one, and the like. Because what that says is that take all of that blend of evil, and any little variant that you might spin on it has to be included in the list also. It put us perspective on what the serpent said to Eve, right? Surely you won't die. And then we see this legacy of evil that permeates society outside of God. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Would there be a legacy as a father that we'd want to pass on to our children? Peace with God. Peace with God. Read His word. Take it in. Press it into your hearts. Let that lead your life. Don't let what you see in the world lead your life. It'll shorten your days. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's verse 3 and verse 4. Mercy and truth need to be evident in the outward behavior, right? We adorn ourselves with so many different things, don't we, in life? How much time do you spend in front of the mirror in the morning to get yourself right so you look presentable to the outside world? God, who we heard, His ways are certainly not our ways. We'll talk a little bit about that shortly, okay? But He looks at adornment as mercy and truth. It needs to be evident in the outward behavior. But only, and I do mean this only, the only way there can be a sincere outward expression of mercy and truth is that those attributes are pressed inside. He didn't leave us alone, did He? You know, the disciples were forlorn when God or Christ said that He'd be leaving them. But He said, I won't leave you alone. There'll be a comforter. We need to press mercy and truth into our inward selves. He strengthens us in the inner man, doesn't He? Through the Holy Spirit. God has never intended us to try to do this on our own. Ever. He's got it all covered. He's got the basis covered. In fact, he does say, if you remember, outside of me we can do what? Nothing, right? He's really the only person, I think I've said this before, He's the only one that can use the word every, all, or never. Because when He uses those words, He really means them. There isn't anything outside of God that we can accomplish that's going to give us long life, peace, and happiness. That doesn't mean that we don't have anything to add to the equation. Certainly we do. He's given us gifts and talents, and He's given us a mind to reason and to go forth and to do good works according to the way that He would have us to do. But outside of Him, we can do nothing. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. What a legacy for a father to give his children. I like this Proverbs 20:26. You don't need to turn to it, but it says, the spirit of the man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So God uses our spirit in combination with His Holy Spirit. He's seeking those things that are in the inner man, our inner selves. And He prunes us. And He presses down His word and His commandments to us and in us. and thinking about this and preparing. You know, there are people in your life who don't know the Lord, or maybe who do know the Lord. They will struggle at times to see mercy and truth in your life. How many times have we said, we just want to be a peculiar people to those who we're praying for? And the world will struggle to see mercy and truth. But remember this, there was a man named Pontius Pilate, right? And he looked right into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, what is truth? Here is the epitome of mercy and truth. And the world just didn't see it and doesn't see it. But I like what it says here is that, you know, you may not see it in your lifetime. But if you look at verse 4, it said, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So in God's timeline, truth and mercy are highly esteemed by not only God, but by man. Let's take a look at verses 5 through 10. There's a transaction that needs to take place. What we consider, or what I consider to be mine, has to become his. And he expounds on that in these verses. For I need to make mine his. The management of my God-given resources for not only my own good, but for the good of others, is really a reflection on, and how well that's being managed is a reflection on what my relationship with God is. It's as simple as that, right? Our relationship with God is not a light switch. We have some dear friends up north who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And a terrible thing happened in their life. And the first thing they wanted to do was, can we pray? That's what they had never prayed to God. I mean, God was not a component of their life. The Word was not a part of any of the things that were going on in their life. It's not a light switch. So the management of our God-given resources for His glory and for His honor and for the good of others, how deep that is taking place is really a direct relationship of our direct sign of how our relationship is with God. Trust the Lord with all your heart, verse 5, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own ways. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So this first transaction is to take my heart and to make it His heart, right? Take my heart and make it His heart. You know, Jabe spoke one of the evenings. The flesh has a hard time trusting God, doesn't it? In fact, we like to give God the credit when catastrophes happen, I think is what he said. Oh, it was an act of God. Ignoring all the blessings around us on a daily basis or minute by minute. But we like to assign the catastrophes for him, but we choose to ignore all the obvious blessings. It made me think about peanuts, actually, in Georgia. A couple years ago, I don't know if you remember, but peanut butter was like gold. It was a bad year. And I believe that most of the peanuts, of course, the peanut butter, all right, is a lot of it's really not only grown here, but, of course, processed here. And there was problems in the school system because schools rely heavily on peanut butter and jelly, and you couldn't buy it in the stores, and it was just a bad thing. Well, guess what? This year, I was listening to NPR, that dislike radio station that I like to listen to, and they said, hey, you know, it's been a great year for peanuts this year. It's been an absolutely great year for peanuts. But there's a problem with that because the commodity price is going to collapse and it's going to be tough for the farmers and it's going to be tough for this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, when is it ever any good enough? Can you imagine sitting in the seat of God and saying, okay, now how can I balance all this, all right? Because whatever's good for somebody is going to be bad for somebody else. We don't like to trust Him. The flesh does not like to trust God. Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Just give me your heart and then you'll see things from my perspective is really where he's going to. I like this this little story, Sir Walter Raleigh. I thought that was kind of appropriate. When he was about to be executed, this is in England, he was, what a strange question, he was asked which way he would prefer his head to be laid on the block. All right. And his reply is very telling here. So the heart be right, it is no matter which way the head lies. Something to think about, right? My heart is right with God, what difference does it make? And that would be something we could carry into our own lives on a daily basis, right? When we start to see the storms of life coming in at us, unexpected things, things we don't understand, things that are confused. You know, if the heart's right, it doesn't mean that I don't care, but I know it's going to be all right. At the heart of every true act of stewardship, every work of ministry, every acceptable act of worship is done with a heart that's close to God. He seeks the heart, doesn't he? He seeks the heart. John 14:23 says this, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. I have fond memories of my dad. I remember his teachings in my mind. I remember those fond memories of trips and quiet times with him and active times. But, you know, Jesus sits at the throne of your heart. There's no better legacy than that. Do you know him as Savior today? Have you experienced Jesus Christ at a level where you understand that he never leaves or forsakes? The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. He sits at the throne of not only of heaven, but your hearts. What a wonderful legacy. My heart has to become his heart. My mind has to become his mind. MacDonald puts it this way. There must be a healthy distrust of self. Healthy distrust of self. He's given us responsibilities. There's things that we need to accomplish in life, but we need to have this healthy distrust of self with the acknowledgement that we do not know what is best for us and that we are not capable of guiding ourselves in the long run. David alluded to this verse one of the nights also, 2 Corinthians 2:5, casting down imaginations. And I can only speak as a man, but men can be very imaginative. We're doers, right? We want to fix things. If something's broken, we want to fix it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. So easy, we want to step out in our own faith. Right? We want to accomplish things. He's saying, no, that's not what I want you to do. Your mind has to become my mind. Go to me first. Go to me first. Everything must be held in captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not only do we see that, but we don't want our minds to reign and rule us, but we want our minds to be reined in by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. My ways have to become his ways. My heart needs to be his, my mind needs to be his, and my ways need to be him. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Once I became a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, I found that there's a big difference between recognizing something and acknowledging something. And I guess the way I did it was that so many times in my life I recognized that Jesus was over there, all right? He was over there. Hi, Jesus. Nice to see you. He's across the street doing good things. Call you when I need you, Jesus. Nice to see you. Recognize Jesus. But there's a difference between that recognition and acknowledging who he is. Walking over to the other side of the street at his feet saying, I acknowledge who you are. I acknowledge that there isn't this indirect relationship with you, but there's a direct relationship that I have with you. And I want to acknowledge you as King of my life. The Lord Jesus Christ, right? He lords over us, and that's a good thing. His ways, my ways, must become His ways. I'll challenge you to find, if there's ever a better verse in the Bible, Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." What a wonderful thing. We know where our ways go, right? Convoluted, contrary, actually crippling at times are our ways, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things I could think of when it comes to our ways is just pick up a section of the federal tax code one day. Take a look at it. You want to see our ways and how convoluted they can get. Read the terms of your financial institution. If you happen to be a credit card holder. All of the nuances. They're not, in fact, a lawyer had said to me, they're not meant to be read. Not by us anyways, because they're too hard to understand. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like the thoughts this morning at the breaking of bread. Oh Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The simplicity of the gospel. His ways are not convoluted. They're not contrary to Himself. And they're certainly not crippling. I like in Haggai 1, 5, and 7. He lays it out for us. "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." It says God talking to you and I, right? Let's consider your ways. He cries out, "Come, let us reason together," in these verses. "Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, how you have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but there's none who are warm. And he that earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Come, let us reason together." I don't know if you do this, maybe the 1st of January, maybe not. Maybe you do it in hard times, or maybe when there's a time that you realize there needs to be a change in your life, but you make a resolution. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this more. I'm not going. We make this list, all right, that we can't keep. We would be much better off in simply stopping and consider His ways and then begin walking in them, right? Forget the list. Take His list. He's already got it. I'm going to skip over to "my possessions must become His possessions." Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. There was a man by the name of Bob Russell. He writes in Preaching Today. He wrote this. "You know, a handful of people went on a mission trip to Eastern Europe. And upon returning, they said, boy, we're really impressed by the dedication of the believers there." See, we were in a country where the Christians are very poor. But they really wanted to tithe. But the government had put restrictions on the amount of tithing or contribution that people could make to the Lord's work. And I guess what their fear was, is what he goes on to say here, is that any organization, whether it was good or bad, they did not want funds going in at a rapid rate because wealth is power. And so they didn't want anybody to through a back door, have an uprising against the government. So the Christians in that country searched for loopholes in the law so that they'd be able to give more. And Russell goes on here to say, he says, "Here in the West, we're free to give whatever we please. In fact, we get a tax break for it. But we look for loopholes in Scripture to try to get out of it at times." What an indictment. Our possessions must become His possessions, because they're really His possessions anyways. We just need to see it from that perspective. You know, some people don't necessarily like to talk about finances and tithing, and that's between me and the Lord, and that's okay, all right? But Jesus didn't have a problem talking about money. Let me give you some statistics. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the gospel, an amazing amount, one out of 10 verses deals directly with the subject of money in the gospels. The Bible offers roughly 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but over 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Why do you think that is? Because we have such a problem with it. It's a hindrance. He knows it to be a hindrance. Saw one place where it said the servant has two purses. A servant would be one who's taking care of the affairs of the master. And he has the master's purse. He's taking care of the financial aspects there. And he's got his own purse because he gets paid, all right? We're servants, but we only have one purse, and that happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people might say this, well, you know, you get the heart right and the treasures will follow. This kind of goes back to that verse where our ways are not his ways. Luke 12:34 says it the other way around, doesn't it? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we can get it right in our heads, hold it in our hearts, that it's really yours, Lord. That, and you're my treasure. You're my treasure. Then everything else will fall in line when it comes to these possessions. Finish up with this here. Verses 11 and 12. Another thing that we have a hard time with. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, a son in whom he delights. You know the Lord Jesus Christ delights in you today? You're his delight. How many times has he proved it to you in Scripture? We need to value divine chastening as the actions of a loving Father who delights in us. We should expect discipline. We'd be a little bit concerned if we didn't get it, wouldn't we? We know we're not perfect. And if we were either ignoring the discipline or we didn't see any discipline, it's time to take stock of our relationship with a God who delights in us and who wants to correct us. What does it produce? What does his correction produce? What's the fruit of holiness and righteousness? We see that in Hebrews. We can appreciate the positive role that God's correction has in our life. A legacy from the Father. I hope you have a legacy to your children. I hope you as children have received a legacy from your Father. But the most important thing is to recognize that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has left us a legacy, and that he wants us to be his dear children. What a wonderful thing that is. For a father to delight in his children. And that's exactly what God does today through the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Father, we thank you so much for who you are in our life. We thank you that you are a God in the present, in the here and now. Father, we do thank you for all the things that you have done for us in the past, bringing us into yourself, pressing your commandments down into us. Father, we also thank you for what you're going to do. We look forward to that day when we'll see our Savior face to face, that we can spend all eternity of you just showing yourself to us, manifesting just who you are. But Father, today I just thank you for being the God of the present, that you are in our lives in the here and now. Father, let us take hold of our salvation. Father, let us put our trust in you with all our hearts and with all our mind. Father, let us seek your ways. Father, let us give over those possessions which are truly yours, all, and give them all to the glory of God. Father, as we leave this place, let us rejoice in the fact that you delight in us. Father, I do one more time just thank you for all of the men and women, children that have come alongside the work over the past 2 weeks. Father, just bless them in ways that only they can see, and the intimacy of that relationship that they have with you. And Father, give us strength and perseverance to follow up on the contacts, to not just look back and say, hey, that was a great time, but Father, have us to look and say, that was the beginning of a wonderful season. of sharing the gospel and seeing your harvest. We just love you and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.